To God be the glory. And so let's be encouraged by the word of God tonight. And I'd like to kind of really stir our hearts, encourage our hearts in delighting our Lord. That's the title of tonight's message, Delighting Our Lord. And of course, you know, spoiler alert, this of course is a midweek service, so the emphasis is on prayer. That's how we delight God. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll see what the word of God has for us. Ephesians chapter 5, and a wonderful reminder from the scriptures. Paul, of course, writing to the believers there at Ephesus as dear children of God. And so if you are saved, of course, you're a child of God. And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's go to verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, let's go to verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, the word of God says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Observe, Christ gave himself for us, but he also gave himself to God. Okay, so don't miss this. He gave himself for us, but to God. And as a child of God, God always loves us no matter what. Praise God. Amen. But God loving us is not the same as we delighting God, meaning we pleasing God. You know, I think of my parents, you know, they love me no matter what. But what I do doesn't necessarily please them, right? They love me no matter what, praise God. But what I do can sometimes delight them, can sometimes disappoint them, can sometimes anger them, can sometimes shame them, can sometimes please them. So they love me no matter what, but what I do can delight them or not. Same thing with our relationship with God Almighty. We are saved, we are a child of God, he loves us no matter what. But certain things that we do or don't do can delight God. And so just because God loves us no matter what doesn't mean that we delight God no matter what. And so how do we delight God? Of course, by being followers of God, specifically in this context here, being following Jesus Christ, our example, by offering a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God, of course, through our prayers. And so do we realize how much our prayers and the act even of us just praying delights God? Let's bow our heads for opening prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house tonight. I thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, who seals us, who anoints us, who empowers us, who convicts us, Lord. And may we not grieve him. May we yield to him, Lord, and rejoice with him. And so, Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight, Lord. Just anoint these lips of clay. And Abba, Father, that we would hear from heaven on high, that we would be stirred in our hearts through the privilege, the power, but also the blessing to us, but the delight that prayer gives to you. As we will pray, we will be a prayerful Christian people, a church, Lord, and we thank you so much for this avenue of prayer, and bless the prayer time to even come, Lord. We ask that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in all that is said and done. May we be followers of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise God. We think back to what God has done for us. Glad you're saved. Amen. Of course, that's, you know, I hope that when I ask that question, it's not just, you know, kind of a cliche. I hope it really resonates with us, that we're always thankful for what God has done for us. And so if it's a blessing that we, a little old sinner like me, it's such a wonderful and an awesome thought to even consider the truth from the scriptures. If it weren't from the word of God, we won't know it, right? But the Bible tells us that we as sinners, lowly sinners, in spite of ourselves, we can actually do something to delight God. I mean, think of God, his holy, but God is not just some outworldly, external, impersonal force, okay? He is our loving Father, and we are as his children. And to wrap my mind around that truth, that there is something that I can actually do, even in my non-glorified state, okay? Yes, one day we'll be glorified with him in heaven, praise God, but even right now, you know, we think of the sweet by and by, but even in the rough now and now, in my in my fallen state. Yes, I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed in my soul, but I still live in the sin of my flesh. Even as a rotten sinner as I am now, there's something I can do that completely delights God. I mean, that is a mind-blowing thing, but it's true. And hence, it behooves us to do it, right? So let's go to verse 1, chapter 5. Scripture says, "Be ye therefore," now speaking to you and I as Christians, as children of God, "followers of God." This is how God wants us to delight Him, by being a follower of God. Now, follower here, not just in following the path, if you will, behind God, but this is literally walking with God as a, if you want to use that word, a copycat or an imitator. Okay? The idea that Paul is saying, guys, be imitators of God. In other words, what God does, we do. Okay? Do as God does. Okay? As dear children. And the idea is that a son wants to grow up to be just like dad, right? Or maybe a daughter wants to be just like mom. You know, that's precious. And I forget how old she was, but our firstborn, Elena, and years ago when she was young, she said, you know, we asked her, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And she said, "A mom." Of course, my wife and I went, "Oh, sweetest thing." Okay, what I'm saying is, but the idea is, okay, so it touches the hearts of parents, of dads, okay, when the boy said, "Dad, I want to be just like you. What you like, I like. What you do, I want to do." And like, oh, that's just so sweet, okay? And the same is our Father in heaven. God wants us to be like Him. The more we are like Him, the more He delights in us as dear children. Okay, how do we be followers, copycats, imitators of God? Well, walk in love. Now, walk is a long-term thing. This is a lifestyle thing. It's not just saying one step. One step of love, the rest of it in my flesh. No, this is our whole lifestyle. Okay, this is speaking about our walk with God. It's a walk in love. By the way, love must always be the reason, the motivation, the seed, the catalyst of why we do what we do. But whose love? The love of Christ. Okay, not just my love, it's His love. Remember, it's Christ's constraining love, right? The love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ, as Christ also hath loved us. And Christ loved us so much, His example is what? He hath given Himself for us. Christ gave Himself. He didn't just do something for us. He gave Himself to us. Okay, this is huge, because the example that Paul is going to challenge the Ephesians, just as Jesus gave Himself to us, there is something you and I now, as a child of God, there's something you and I have that we can give to God. Okay, something that we have that we can give to God that delights Him. This is amazing. How much does it delight God? Well, He says here, as a sweet smelling savor, something that delights the nostrils of God and just brings Him joy and happiness. I mean, God literally experiences the emotion of delightfulness, joy and happiness when we do this. I mean, this is amazing to consider my infinite, my all-sufficient, my almighty God can take pleasure in little old me when I do this thing as a sweet-smelling savor. I mean, this is a mind-blowing truth. And what can possibly delight God so much? Well, the idea here is an offering and a sacrifice to God. Okay, because this is what Christ did for us, but Christ did it for us to God. He offered Himself an offering and a sacrifice for us, but to God. Well, what kind of offering and sacrifice can we give to God? Well, Christ died for us. He wants us to live for Him. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. You know where I'm going. We're going to draw kind of the parallel here, because this sacrifice and this offering that you and I can give to God completely delights God. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, not too far from Ephesians. Hebrews 13, let's go to verse 15. Now, this is speaking again of Jesus Christ. It's only by Jesus Christ it's even possible. But look at what it says here. By Him, that's Jesus Christ, therefore, let us, believers, as children of God, offer, that's our offering, the sacrifice that Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 is telling us, of praise to God continually. This is what God wants of us, to give Him praise. That is the fruit of our lips. It's a fruit of our lips because it's seated in our what? Heart. Okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so it comes out on our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the sacrifice of praise from our lips and the giving of thanks from our heart, a.k.a. also known as prayer. It is prayer. We are praising God, thanking him, praising him. This is our prayer. This is the sacrifice and the offering that God delights from you and I. This is amazing. Doesn't matter, you know, how my week is going. You know, doesn't matter where I am, how I am. If I stop and take a spiritual timeout, now, of course, I have to actually take a timeout to do it, not just think about prayer. I actually have to be stopping and praying. But to actually pray to God delights him. It delights him. It delights him on an individual basis. It delights him on a church basis when we do it, like tonight. This is awesome. And I pray that this will be with my family, with all of us. You know, and I think, oh, midweek service. Oh, I'm busy. I got to do this. I'm tired. But I think to myself, oh, it's such a wonderful thing if I can just die to self and my spirit would leave my lazy flesh and just come out of my comfort zone just so I can come and worship God in spirit and in truth, but also praise him and thank him in prayer, because that delights my God. That is awesome. That is wonderful. I'm, you know, and so may that always be our motivator, you know, to walk in love. It's the love of Christ that constrains us, Lord, to understand that when we pray, we delight God. In fact, if you go to verse 16, our praise and thankfulness to God goes hand in hand and is directly related to our ministering to others, okay? But to do good and to communicate, forget not. This is to other saints, okay? For with such sacrifices, our prayers, our thanksgiving and ministering, which is related to that, to one another, God is well pleased. And, I won't say the last time God said this, but the one time God said he was well pleased was with Jesus Christ when he got baptized. Remember when John the Baptist baptized him? God the Father spoke from heaven. He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Of course, when I read that, I go, well, yeah, that's Jesus. Of course he's well pleased with Jesus. But let this sink in. If we do this, God is telling us that with you and I think of me, a little old sinner, God can also say that he is well pleased. I mean, this is mind-blowing. Like, wow. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God, here's the wonderful thing. I know I'm not perfect. So the only reason I can possibly even please God is that he must really, 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 really love me. That's amazing. It's one of those things where, you know, you might have a two-year-old kid that means well, and said, "Dad, I drew a picture of you." And you're like, "Can't tell if it's me or a monster." but I say, "Looks great, Junior. I mean, artistically it might be something else, but it touches your heart, and it truly, God looks upon the heart, and you're not faking it." When mom and dad said that's wonderful, they're not lying. It truly is wonderful, because they really love Junior that much. Okay, and that's just how it comes to me. God really loves us, so that when we pray to give an offering of thanks, of thankfulness, a sacrifice to him, just like Jesus did for us to God, it delights him. But it has to be from the heart. You can't fake it. So let's go to Proverbs 15. So this is the one requirement. You know, we don't have to pray fancy schmancy. We don't have to pray long and lengthy like the Pharisees, you know. And it's one of those things. It's like maybe the Academy Awards, and they get called up for best actor. And then they come up there, they act all surprised, and then they whip up your speech. I'm like, you were expecting, you know. And so we don't have to give some flowery speech to God, but we have to mean it. In fact, that is the only requirement, that we be sincere in our prayers. So let's go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. So our prayers delight God, but it has to be sincere. So Proverbs 15, verse 8. In fact, there's some other verses in Proverbs that talk about God delighting in what is upright, and so we'll kind of connect the dots there. But let's go to first Proverbs 15 and then verse 8. Proverbs 15 and then verse 8. Notice the word of God says here, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And so, yeah, they're sacrificing, they're giving, and they're giving the animals, and they're doing it, but they're wicked from the inside. So the idea is you're not saved, okay? They're not saved. They're hypocritical. They're unregenerated, and they're just faking it. And so they might be doing the sacrifices on the outside, but not only are those sacrifices meaningless to God, God actually hates them. And so it's a negative. Better not do it, okay, than to do it and fake it, okay, is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer doesn't even have to be an elaborate sacrifice, just even a thankful prayer over a meal, a thankful prayer for a parking spot, a thankful prayer for a wonderful day, a thankful prayer at the dawn of a new day, or a time in the prayer closet. But prayer of the upright, so you got to be sincere, you got to mean it from the heart, is His delight. God doesn't just tolerate it. He doesn't just put up with it. He delights in it. And even if I can't picture God delighting over it, just think of yourself. You know, the last time you delighted over something, okay, that's something that blesses you more than normal, right? I mean, you have regular blessings that make you, hey, that's great. And then you have super blessings that delight you. I mean, that is the definition of delight. This is right up there. You know, this is 12 out of 10. And God delights in the prayers of the upright. I mean, that is amazing. It has to be from the heart. It has to be honest, sincere. It must cost us something. You know, when we pray, we are giving up our time. We're giving up our pride. We're giving up our, Lord willing, our will. Okay, so because it's easy to just say, Lord, your will be done. If I don't mean it, I'm faking it. If I say, Lord, please do this, please allow this, I'm giving up my independence, because if God says yes, then I got it. If He says no, then I don't got it. I mean, in other words, when we pray, we are putting all our eggs in God's basket. He holds all the keys. He holds all the strings. He has all the say, and I'm going all in. I'm going all in on God. And so I'm giving up myself, my pride, my will, my independence. It all goes in. I don't want to fake it. I don't want to just hold on to plan B and say, Lord, it'd be nice if you bless this, but if not, I got it anyway. No, when we pray, we're going all in. We're depending completely on God. So it does cost us all that, myself going all in. Let's go to Hebrews. Well, don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We know this. The Bible tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to what? Please Him. You've got to believe. For he that cometh to God, context is in our prayer. When we come to God, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is an exclusive coming to God. And so when we come to God in faith and prayer, it's God or bust. I mean, that's the point, you know. And it's easy for me to give my prayers sometimes in the flesh when I'm not really all in. Don't do that. It doesn't have to be a lavish sacrifice here, like in the Old Testament with a lamb with no blemish and all that, you know. But it needs to be honest and sincere from the heart. The sacrifices of the wicked is what God is comparing it to. God commands sacrifices, but He wants our heart. Otherwise, it's an abomination to Him. He doesn't want it. In fact, if you go to verse, let's go to chapter 11 in Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 1. There's a few more verses right around this zip code in Proverbs here that talks about what God delights in, but they all have a common theme of uprightness. So let's go to Proverbs 11, verse 1. Now, this is speaking about our business dealings, but the virtue is the same. Look at verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His, what? Delight. God delights in just dealings, okay, dealings that are honorable, dealings that are of integrity, that what's right, what's true, okay, what's righteous, what meets God's standards. Let's go to verse 20, same chapter 11, verse 20. They that are of a froward heart, froward meaning crooked, twisted, are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. Meaning we do things the way that we should. It should be done, okay? We're in compliance. We do things, we're honorable to what the law says. We do what God says. And so let's go to chapter 12. Same theme. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. No surprise. But they that deal truly are His delight. And so I know these aren't speaking about prayer per se, but the virtue is of uprightness, meaning if it's square, we're square. Okay, whatever the requirement, whatever God's standard is, we need it. And so the idea is when you go back to Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The idea is, when we are praying sincerely from the heart, we are in compliance with what God desires, and that delights God. That delights our Father. A Christian who doesn't pray, or prays half-hearted, or prays not quite, you know, honestly, not quite, prays guarded, prays, you know, not sincerely, a Christian who does all that or doesn't pray is out of compliance, is not upright in heart, and grieves God. And so this is huge. I mean, yes, we can delight God in our prayers, but it must be sincere, upright, and from the heart. And then also, another thought here, praying is not just, quote-unquote, an activity that we do. It's not just a one-time thing. It should be the center of the life that we live. The lifestyle that we live ought to be characterized by prayer. If you look at verse 9, Proverbs 15, next verse, verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Well, he already told us the sacrifices are an abomination in verse 8. And now God is kind of zooming up to 10,000 foot level. And so this is more of their whole lifestyle. Not only is their sacrifice an abomination, their whole way, their whole life is an abomination. And so again, not just one step. This is their whole walk, their whole path, their whole way, their whole lifestyle. And conversely, the lifestyle of the saved, of the upright. But he that loveth him, again, the love has to be our seed, our cause, our motivation for doing what we're doing is the love of Christ. But he that loveth him, God, that followeth after, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Again, this is not just a one step. This is the whole lifestyle that we live. In fact, it goes back with Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God. Okay, same here. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Now, Jesus says that the Lord desires his house to be a house of what? Prayer. Of course, they turned it, corrupted it into a den of thieves. Even 2,000 years ago, back then in the Bible days, it was corrupt even back then. But Jesus, the Lord desires his house to be a house of prayer. This is how God specifically describes his house. Applies, of course, to the New Testament church of believers. May this local congregation be a house of prayer. But the idea of calling God's church or God's house a house of prayer, that is the defining characteristic of the Lord's church. And so, in other words, you know, it's not just a once in a while thing. For a house to be called a house of prayer, you can liken it to anything else. My home. I hope my home is a house of joy, right? A house of comfort, a house of peace or safety, whatever the case is. You know, and it's not what you are once in a while. And you don't even have to be it all the time, because we're not absolute from that standpoint. But it should be how we are most of the time from this, okay, from the idea. And so the house of prayer is what our church should be described as. Is how God wants our church to be described. You can literally apply it to our home. May our home be a home of prayer, which means prayer is done often. Prayer is done right, meaning it's done in the spirit, not in the flesh. Prayer is done by everyone, right? And so, Lord willing, well, by the way, a little plug here, Saturday men's prayer breakfast, that's a blessing. Sunday is our prayer service. That's wonderful when we come together and pray. And yes, I understand it can be long, and I know some of my little kids, they're younger, and say, Dad, is it the pot bless? I say, well, it's actually the prayer service. And they go, oh, it takes forever. I'm like, well, you know, we can understand for a youngling to act that way, but for God's soldiers, for the men of God, we should look forward to that, because God does. God delights when we are praying to him, when we pray to him, the act of praying. May this be a church, a house of prayer. May our home be a home, a family of prayer. For the church to be a house of prayer means that we have to be Christians of prayer, right? God delights in our prayer. Our prayers should be to delight God. Let's go to Psalm 147. Kind of wrap it up there. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Let's go to verse 11. Psalm 147 and a verse 11. Again, what delights God, what pleases him, brings him pleasure. Look at verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Now, food for thought. How do we express our fear, which leads to reverence? How do we express our faith in God? How do we express our hope in God's mercy? By prayers. Remember when the Lord said the parable of the man with the importunity just kept on knocking, won't quit, okay? And the Lord says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? The context is prayer. We express our faith. We express our hope in God's mercy. We express our fear and reverence to God. It all comes through as prayer. When we pray, we delight God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Abba, Father, what an awesome thought, Lord, to think of little old me, Lord. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But Father, yet you delight in our prayer. That is a wonderful thing. Help me not to help me not to restrain what in delighting you. Help me to delight you, Lord, as much as I can, much as we can in prayer. From the heart, Father, as we go all in and that we hope in your mercy, Father, and we can go all in because you tell us that you love us. You want us to cast all our cares upon you. You care for us. And Father, help us not hold anything back. Help us to just trust and delight in your will, to be lost in your will, Lord. We just love you. Thank you so much, Father, for being so faithful and gracious to us. And bless this time now of corporate prayer. May Northside Baptist Church always be a house of prayer. May our home, our families be homes and families of prayer. May we be a people of prayer. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.